Parental advisory warning. Carlosophies, provoking thought and liberating people from their own bullshit since 2015. First time here? Hit subscribe. You'll want to stick around. So I started recording this week's episode on the beach and it just absolutely started pissing down. So I came home and thought I'd record it here instead. I guess I want to start by saying I've got a few episodes that I had recorded that were supposed to be going out, but I will be pushing them because I feel like the conversation, it's not helpful. I don't think, like, in terms of me just putting out episodes as normal when the world is in the place that it is. And I've really been not afraid, like just a bit conflicted about putting this episode out because I want to talk about racism. I want to talk about what we can do as white people, particularly in Australia, where do we start unpacking this stuff? And also, I've been having so many private conversations in the last week with people sharing some resources, and it really struck me that I was very blessed to have been given an education on, white Australian history, colonisation in Australia, at a very young age, and it appears that that's not the case for everyone. So, this fits right in with like what I feel like I'm here to do in terms of like this show is called Carlosophy Shop Speak Up, right? And it's about showing up and speaking up, and that requires you to get uncomfortable. I'm always talking about this, right? And I've had so many episodes in the past where I've looked at privilege and how it shows up in our lives and, you know, getting us to check our privilege and show up regardless of regardless of how uncomfortable it can make us feel, because it can, and even more so at this time. So I get that it is really uncomfortable for white people right now. Like, I get that people are feeling, I understand that people are feeling afraid and they don't want to say the wrong thing. They don't want to do the wrong thing. They feel like they can't win either way, you know, all this kind of jazz. I see it happening a lot in the groups that I'm in. People are really afraid of sharing. And you know what? Like, part of me feels like I want to say, like, it's such a cliche right now, but like, our job is not to like share our point of view and defend our position, but it's to listen. And it isn't personal. I also want to draw a parallel, not at all in a lot of respects, but in a similar way to the way feminists feel when a man is mansplaining them and they're like, shut the fuck up, you don't know what it's like to be a woman. You haven't had this experience of, you have privilege, right? And yet it's so hard for us to stand on the other end of that and be the person of privilege, you know, and accept that we have blind spots and we haven't been seeing things the way they really are due to the privilege that we have as white women and men, but in this particular instance, white women, right? And the thing is, it's not personal. So when someone points out the way that you have said something that may be taken in, may have racist undertones or connotations, whether it's covert or overt, when that's pointed out to you, it's not personal. It's not like, you know, you're a shit human because you have all this privilege. It's about being willing enough to open your ears and sit in that place of, oh my fucking God, I have been contributing to this problem. And I have been blind to it. And that is a really fucking confronting place to be when you fundamentally believe you're a good human. I fundamentally believe I'm a good human, but also I have been a fucking terrible ally, you know, and I have been a racist. And some of me still is. I'm still unpacking this stuff. I can't not be. I can't not be because I was raised a white Australian under a system that was not at all embracing of our Indigenous heritage as a country, as a land. You know, so, oh my God, there's just so much I want to say. All right, so part of what I wanted to talk about today was my own story. Oh, the emotion. And I felt conflicted about this because I don't want to make this about me and my ego. You know, I don't want to make this about me. But this show is called Carlosophies and the show is about me. And in fact, you know, I kind of feel like there's this whole thing at the moment, like it's not about us as white people. It's about moving aside so we can raise up the voices of our black brothers and sisters. And like 100%, we absolutely need to be raising the voices. 100%. Where that is incorrect is this is about us. It is about us as white people. It is about the stories that we have within ourselves that we can't even see because we have never bothered to look. And I'm not saying that in a blame way because our system hasn't allowed us to see that, you know, and you know, I don't know, there's a lot of really fundamentally destructive stories out there. And one of them being angry black woman, right? Like, let me tell you something. If your ancestors had been persecuted and treated in the way that our Aboriginal brothers and sisters have been over the last 230 to 250 years, and then we fucking celebrate the day that white Australians landed here, buried their children up to their necks in the sand and kicked their fucking heads off for fun, like you'd be angry too, right? Because it's been over 200 years of them trying to tell us what has been going on and we have been like, not listening. Look at that angry black woman. You know, that's fucking bullshit. It's time for that to change. And this is one thing that I'm really passionate about is it's about learning about the history of our country. Now, as I said before, I was reluctant to make this about my story, but I am going to share a bit of it because I think that it's important for us to, you know, understand. I think it's important for us to own those parts of our lives where we got things just fundamentally wrong. And that time for me was my teenage years. Whew. So I was blessed to have a teacher who was very rogue in terms of like she was not teaching us what the curriculum said about Australian history. She taught us the brutal truth. And as a 13-year-old and 14-year-old, 15-year-old, it was confronting as fuck. And like, fuck, I mean, but I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that my eyes were opened back then. But what I am ashamed to say is that I didn't show up and speak up. You know, sometimes our mess is our message. And for me, there were two areas of my life where I remained silent. And you know, there's that amazing quote by Desmond Tutu going around at the moment around how, like, if we're silent, we are on the side of the oppressor. And that's what I've been unpacking for myself lately is like, my silence. And that has been confronting. So growing up, I had a very close friend whose mother was stolen generation. And her story was devastating. And I had so much compassion and understanding for her and for her mum. But I was a teenage kid and teenage kids are cruel. And so this particular friend of mine, though she was Aboriginal, she was white presenting, very white presenting. Her father was Irish and she got all of the Irish, very fair, blonde, And as a, it must have been so hard for her, because not only had she been, her parents, you know, her mother had been removed from their family. So she growing up didn't know her nana or, you know, any of that stuff, which would have been just, you know, so she knew she was Aboriginal, but she didn't know any of her background because her mum had been stolen. So there was all that kind of going on. So, and then she also wasn't really accepted as being Aboriginal by her white friends because they were like, but you're white. Why are you getting free dental when you're white? Which is like something that really pisses me off now. And I wish I had fucking spoken up then, but I didn't. And I guess this is why I'm telling you this, right? Like there were things that we used to call her behind her back, which I just cannot forgive myself for. And I don't know that those words ever passed my lips, but I was in the company of others who did, and I'm sure they feel hideous about it now too, or at least I hope they do. You know, but I didn't speak up. And that is, and then there have been many other times that I haven't spoken up in my life. I did some fucking stupid shit as a teenager that, like, oh, I just wish I could go back and say, sweetheart, you know, like, this isn't who you are. But it was at that time. And I guess, like, we can all change, you know? And now I'm really grateful that, you know, 10, 12 years ago, I had a mental breakdown, which made me really think about who I wanted to be in this world. And one of those parts was that I wanted to be able to look at myself in the mirror. I've told you this a million times. I wanted to be able to look in the mirror and be happy with the person that looks back at me. And that has taken a lot of work, and it has taken a lot of courage. You know, it and even now I still find myself holding back from speaking my truth sometimes, and I still find myself feeling uncomfortable about pulling people up. And but it's required. And I want to bring it back to that it's not personal piece again, because this is the thing, right? Like, right now we get to make a stand for what we believe in. And for me, I believe in a world where we are one and we are celebrated for being different. You know, as in we are one community with a bunch of different communities within there, but we have mutual understanding and respect and compassion and empathy for each other. But that can't happen until Black lives matter as much as white do. So, you know, stamping out, you know, you're not being afraid. Like, I have seen some horrific stuff spread around this week, which has actually been kind of pissing me off. And it's the stuff around, you know, like Blackout Tuesday is just a diversion from the Hillary Clinton trial into child sex trafficking. I'm not sure on the whole story there. But I do feel like if you're sharing stuff about that, you're actually perpetuating the racism thing, because the Hillary Clinton case doesn't have to come in opposition of Black Lives Matter, right? So if you're sharing that shit, like, don't share it as a, like, you're distracted right now, wake up. No, I'm not distracted at all. You're being distracted by your own racism. For fuck's sake, we can do both. That is, yes, child sex trafficking is fucking important. So are Black lives. So are the sisters and brothers, our Indigenous sisters and brothers' lives. And our Black brothers and sisters in the States, their lives matter. Okay, so went down a little bit of a rabbit hole there, but, you know, I guess the other part of my own story has been my, you know, I've been blessed to have lived in a couple of areas that are really still quite rich, not as rich as they should be, but still rich in Aboriginal culture, in Nambucca Heads and up here in around the Byron Bay, Ballina area. You know, we still have a relatively healthy, in comparison to other places in the country, Indigenous population. And we still, you know, my daughter went to a preschool where they did acknowledgement of country each morning, and they even sang a beautiful Aboriginal song, Jingiwala. And, you know, and they learned some Indigenous language, and, you know, and my daughter's just come home from school and she's teaching me You know, thankfully, I had said to her, what did you learn? It was Reconciliation Week last week. And I asked her if she had been learning, because this is one of my key things, right? Is like one thing that we can do when we have an understanding of how this country was founded, we can't not unknow that. And it does change the trajectory of one's life, right? Like, I think the reason that I don't want to say I'm more well-educated, because that's not the case, and I don't want to sound elitist or anything, but the reason I have more of an understanding is probably because of my rogue teacher back in year seven taking us out to Corranderk, which was an Aboriginal camp out at Healesville in Wurundjeri land, and introducing us to the elders and, you know, giving us a really solid understanding of what it meant to be Indigenous and the great injustices they faced. And even though I went on and did some stupid shit in my teenage years, I took that with me. And I think that, you know, we could make huge change as a country in one generation if our children really understood the truth of, you know, the foundation of this country, which is chronically racist. So, you know, since that, I've been blessed to live in beautiful country, Bundjalung, where I am now, and Goombanga, where I lived in Nambucca Heads, and was deeply connected to the community down there in around Coffs. We had an incredible initiative called WOW, where we brought together the three main cultures within Coffs Harbour, which were the Indigenous sisters and us white crew. And then also there's a big Sudanese population, and we brought them all together in, and it was just, oh, I get goosebumps when I think about it. It was the most beautiful weekend, and I met the most incredible women, and I, you know, and I made so many friends, and that is my hope for like this world, is that we can live in harmony like that. But that can't happen when we're not listening to each other. And when I say we're listening to each other, when we're not listening to our sisters, because they've listened to us and our white point of view for hundreds of years, and now it's time for us to take a step back and have a listen and do our own education. It shouldn't be on our Indigenous brothers and sisters' shoulders to be educating us. So that was another thing that I wanted to bring up, was like, okay, so where do we start here, right? And for me, like, how do we start unpacking racism within us? And it exists within us, right? Like it exists within all of us. So how do we start unpacking that? And for me, it starts with understanding, like doing your research around, I don't mean doing your research as in like a YouTube PhD. What I mean is like find some credible sources. What I'm going to do is I wrote this big long post on Facebook, which had a whole bunch of resources, and I'm going to create a blog post that will go with this episode on my website. So it'll be carlynimmo.com/EP284. I'm just going to write that down, EP 284, so I can get my wonderful assistant, Milena, to help me with that. And so on that blog post, I will, with the show notes for this episode, I will put a whole bunch of resources. There are some really great websites where you can do a bit of research yourself. There's a great documentary on there that was actually like a shortened version of what my teacher had showed me back when I was 13 years old. And it's like, you know, it makes you cry. It's just, anyway. You know, our eyes have to be open to this, and it is painful, and I honor that this is going to be an uncomfortable education for a lot of us, because when you learn what this country has, you know, what this country is founded on, and the injustice that is happening even to this day, you know, I find one of the key, over the years, while I've said that I, you know, I feel like I wasn't speaking up, that I was still trying to have conversations with people. And when I noticed racist stories coming up, I would offer an alternative point of view. And one of the ones that I've seen come up over and over and over and over again is that whole, well, it happened 200 years ago. It wasn't me. I had nothing to do with it. So get over it. And it's like, no. Once you know the injustice that's even happening today, this isn't 200 years old. We didn't just like kill all the Aboriginal people and then like live happily ever after. These people have been living a life full of trauma due to that ever since. We have removed their way of life and everything that is fundamentally important to them, we have taken away. And it might not have been you as an individual, but denying the fact that it happened under a system with which we live and we vote, then we are responsible. We have more power than we think, but we can't have the power until we are willing to look and educate ourselves. So this post is going to have the video that my teacher showed me. It's going to have a couple of really great websites that are not run by Indigenous people, but have been created in consultation with, which will give you great, verified stories. Because even some of the, you know, we don't know what we're really reading. We don't know which version of history is that. So it's important for us to make sure that the research that we're doing is, you know, I don't know, like verified by Aboriginal people. So I'll put that post up. It also has some great podcasts. Now, you listen to podcasts, so I'm going to tell you to go and listen to some amazing shows that I've had the pleasure of working on Indigenous Health Med Talk for the last three seasons. And it's an incredible show. It's not just for doctors or people learning to become a doctor. I've learned so much just from being involved in this show. And the latest episode that we put out last week is like, it should be a must listen. It should be required listening for all Australians. It's with Professor Gregory Phillips and it's like mind-blowing. So after you finish listening to me, go and listen to Dr. Danielle Arabina talking to Gregory Phillips on, unconscious bias, cultural safety. And do yourself a favor and have a listen to that. Another couple of podcasts that I absolutely love and listen to is Titus for Titus by Marley Silva. She has just started a new show. The first two episodes are up now and it's called Always Was, Always Will Be Our Stories, which is a play on the NAIDOC theme for this year, which I want to talk about in a second as well. And then another podcast that I'm absolutely loving is Black Magic Woman. So check those out. I feel like we need to be listening to their stories. You know, these are real people having a real experience and it's important that we are able to listen to them. And I feel like podcasting is a great format to do that because we can consume without having to like have our little backlash, you know, we can listen to it and see what comes up within us and process it ourselves. And I think that's how all awareness starts, is we notice how we're feeling and then we, you know, trace where those feelings stem from, like what is this triggering in me? And that's where we can really uncover a lot of the racist stuff that we have. Like if we're being triggered by a black woman telling us how it is, then there's something in here that hurts and that requires curiosity and some excavating, you know? So what else is on that? So the podcasts, there's a couple of links to good websites. Okay, so some other things that I would be doing. One is having conversations with your children. You know, I'm constantly checking to see what Mabel is learning at school. So when it comes to, it was just reconciliation work week, and I was asking her, what have you been learning this week? Have you done anything, around Indigenous Australians? Have you done anything about Aboriginal culture? And she was telling me, yeah, we learned that Captain Cook came and he put his flag in the ground and said that there was nobody living here, but there were people living here, Mum. You know, and so I love that they're learning this so young. And I think it's so vitally important. So have those conversations with your children. And, you know, I've been talking to Mabel about this. We've always hired Indigenous books from the library. There's great resources at the library, actually. If you just type in the first thing is on that blog post, there'll be a link so you can find out what nation you live in, what country you inhabit. So that's a really great place to start, knowing where the country on which you live, right? And then from there, there's also a map that shows some of the massacres that happened across Australia. So I feel like it's important to know what happened in your local area. Because it was genocide, right? Like that's not a exaggeration. So knowing that is also really important. And once you know your nation, you can go into the library and just type in the search box your Bundjalung, you know, and see what kind of comes up. So there's lots of different things that we can do. Get involved in NAIDOC Week, which is coming up in July. And most importantly, like, I feel like a lot of the stuff that's happening at the moment is tokenism, and it doesn't, you know, it's kind of like, look, I'm doing the right thing. I don't want to be silent because I'm afraid, right? Like, I'm afraid of being silent because, you know, then I'm going to get called out. Oh my God, you know, let me be visual here and I'm doing the right thing. And like, more than that, I think it's important for us to be doing the right thing behind closed doors. Having conversations with our family when, you know, I am blessed to live in, you know, my father was very close friends with a young Aboriginal boy when I was a kid. And so he has always had, every white family has their little racist slurs that we've had over the years. But my dad was really good at pulling me up on stuff, and I'm very grateful for that. And that's what we can do. We can have these conversations with, you know, when our family says something that is wrong, correct them. It doesn't mean that we have to convert them, but we have to be willing to stand up. And all of those little conversations that we have a bigger impact than just tokenly sharing a black square on your Instagram feed, right? Like what are you actually doing to change our future? Wow. That was a big episode. I'm glad I got it off my chest. I hope it's landed with you. And go and listen to those shows, particularly the Indigenous Health Med Talks. Go and subscribe, right? Like I have learned so much. There's a really great episode that we did last season with Aboriginal elders and about, you know, like just simple things. Can we call an Aboriginal elder auntie if we're white? Like what's the go, you know, because we can't learn unless we're willing to ask the questions, unless we're willing to have the conversations. So, that's me, and this is Carlosophies. And thank you for listening. Please go check out that blog post for further resources. I also want to invite you, there's no judgment from me. I understand what it's like to be a white Australian growing up in a racist country. And if you are struggling with that and, you know, I'm here. So if you have questions and you're not really sure where to ask those questions, please feel free to reach out for me. I want to be as much of a conduit as I can be. So if I can be of any service whatsoever, please reach out to me. I really don't want this time to be just another time, because, you know, it's been too long of our brothers and sisters fighting to be heard. And so I really hope we take the opportunity to listen this time and make some change. Thank you. Peace out. Want more me in your life? Head to carlinimmo.com or find me on Instagram at Carlosophies. But honestly, the best thing you can do is tell a friend about this podcast. Until next week, peace out.